How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Want to add a little pizzazz to your meals this summer? We're getting all the home gardening tips to make that possible. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It is finally May, which means it's go time for gardeners. So for the latest in our What's in Season series, we wanted to discuss what you need to know to get your dreams of a veggie garden, a pot of tomatoes, or herb garden on your windowsill up and running. I sat down with Jordan Wimby, a.k.a. Melanin Martha. She's a chef and cultural historian. And Chester Jankowski, he's the senior horticulturist at the Chicago Botanic Garden. Jordan starts with what excites her about this time of year.
I actually went to the Publican this weekend and found ramps. So I am ramped up, no pun intended, on the season right now.
Yeah, Chester, if we want that summer bounty, I mean, now's the time when we actually have to prepare, right?
Yeah, so at the Botanic Garden, we've been preparing all season long. We do our advanced designs almost 2 years into the future. But yes, now is when generally people think is time to prepare in the summer garden. If you haven't started your spring vegetables and you're just looking to do warm season crops, you should definitely start thinking about where you're going to grow them, how you're going to grow them, and start with your soil.
Mm-hmm. Well, here in the Midwest, Chester, I mean, we've got to be cautious of overnight frosts, right? So are we out of the clear yet?
So I'm not going to tell everyone when. I can't predict the future about a frost date. Generally, people say around Mother's Day, which is mid-May, though I will say that this season has been trending a little warmer. So we've got crab apples blooming and tulips in full bloom, which is about 2 weeks earlier from what I've seen. So 2 weeks earlier from Mother's Day, which is around now. I'm not going to say no more frost going forward. But if you have a lot of warm season vegetables you're going to put out and cannot protect early, I would say maybe wait a couple weeks.
Okay, good advice there. Now, before we put anything in the ground, Chester, I mean, we need to get the soil ready. So since we can't plant edible plants directly into the ground in Chicago because of lead in the soil, we've got to plant in raised beds. So I want you to talk about what people should keep in mind then if they're sprucing up their beds from last season or starting fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. If you haven't done a soil test, I always recommend doing that. Even for a raised bed, it could tell you exactly what you're missing. Otherwise, you're trying to guess what you're missing. You could get close, but it's the little things that really make a vegetable garden successful with amendments. Otherwise, I always say buy the best soil you can afford to buy. If you go to any big box store or garden center, you'll see varying levels of soil. I've even seen container garden soil. Look for an organic compost, mushroom compost, something with not a lot of additives such as moisture retention or wood chips. You definitely want something, the highest quality things, because it's really what makes your vegetable garden successful.
Jordan, we've been talking about seedlings for a while now. You and I talked about this last time you were on, but we've finally reached the time where they're ready to go in the ground. So just explain that process of hardening them off for us and tell us why that's necessary.
Absolutely. So hardening off your seedlings is really important because we talked about how our seeds are kind of like our babies. So we have to introduce them to a new environment and they're really vulnerable at a young stage. So it's important to get them used to their outdoor environment if you started them inside. And so to do that, you want to introduce them kind of to their new their new home slowly but surely to get them accustomed to the new weather changes, because having them start inside, you have a very controlled environment. So you don't want them to go into shock. So I usually tell people to start hardening off your seedlings a week or two before you're ready to put them into the ground by just taking them outside, sitting them in the sunlight in a spot that has a little bit of shade, but a little bit of sunlight, and getting them prepared to that new outdoor temperature, and then taking them inside in the evenings when the temperature drops drastically. And then every day doing a little bit more and getting them kind of adjusted and used to that temperature for a longer period of time until they're strong enough to, like, you know, kind of know what to expect within their outdoor environment.
Okay. And Chester, what veggie seeds and plants can go outside right now?
I would say I've moved my houseplants outside right now, so I'm doing the similar thing to my houseplants and hardening them off.
Okay.
But warm season crops, I mean, you're going to start to see a lot of plant sales from garden clubs. I know big box stores already have things that are very tender to frost, but things like tomatoes and peppers can go out now. They will enjoy these 70-degree temps. They're not going to be as floriferous or thriving as much as the heat in June and July, but getting them a head start will at least allow their root systems to develop. And if by chance the chance of frost comes through, they will need protection, but getting them those extra 2 weeks may pay off down the line by getting you a bigger plant when you do get to harvest season in July and August.
Jordan, are you waiting to plant anything later in the month?
Some of the things that I am planting later in the month are going to be, again, like kind of what we were saying before, like the things that do really well in the warmer months.
Yeah.
For me, I just personally like to be a little bit more sure. And the weather is still a bit kind of cool for me. So I really want to get my tomatoes started a little bit later in the month, my cucumbers a little bit later in the month. So those are the things that I'm looking at. But for right now, the things that I have going, my lettuces and my spinach, are things that can tolerate kind of, you know, a lower temperature drop, especially for evening times.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
So Chester, once the veggies start in the ground, how much do you need to water at this early stage, Chester?
Well, if they're cooler temps, that's the one benefit of starting a little earlier, they say roughly about an inch a week. But if you really want to be successful, you need to look at your crops every single day. Try and make a routine of it, try to set an alarm on it. And if the top of the soil looks a little dry, if you stick your finger in there and nothing sticks to your finger, it's probably time to water.
Last year was very dry. You know, parts of the state really experienced drought-like conditions. What are you anticipating this season, Chester?
Oh, I mean, this was a very interesting winter. We had a very mild winter, too. And so precipitation's been pretty reliable so far in April, maybe not as wet as I expected. I'm hoping it stays consistent and we get a normal amount of rain, because that just makes everyone in the horticulture field his lives a little bit easier.
And just so we're clear, for those of us who, you know, maybe have been gardening on our balconies or windowsills, I mean, can pots of herbs do okay outside at this point?
Yes. That's one thing I should have mentioned. You could plant all of your herbs right now. A lot of your herbs love the cool weather. Cilantro specifically really wants the cold weather before it goes and bolts and goes to seed. So if you want to grow cilantro, get it in the ground now before it gets too warm.
And if you get it in the ground now, when can you expect for it to be ready?
I would say a month. And
okay.
So maybe by the time you really want to feel comfortable in those warm seasons for warm season crops.
A month. And Jordan, of course, we're talking about preparing for the summer right now, but as you mentioned early on, I mean, there are some spring delights to look forward to now. You mentioned finding some ramps already, or wild spring onions. What do you like to make from ramps?
I am thriving. It's ramp season. You do not understand, Sasha, how excited I am. Also, it's morel season. So any of you mushroom babes out there that you love to hunt for morels, the time is now. I got my ramps this week, and I've been loving just keeping it simple. You know, grilled ramps, a little olive oil and a little salt and touched on a really, really hot grill kind of enhances the plant's natural kind of complex herbiness and sweetness, which I really like. But I've also been doing something that I found to kind of give me a little bit of ease and ease me into the, you know, the springtime, and also give me some ease in the kitchen, which is taking all of my fresh veg. So we're talking peas, asparagus, snap peas, and so on and so forth, spinach, and creating even your ramps, throw them in there, and creating a nice creamy almost paste or spread, which I then add to soup bases. I then add to pastas. Oh. I then spread on sandwiches. And it's just a very easy way for me to have a little bit of spring flavors in with whatever meal that I'm deciding to have.
That's such a great idea. That's such a great, I love that paste idea. I might steal that. Chester, what about you? What spring crops are you excited for?
Very similar vegetables. We've got a lot of beautiful flowers out right now. A lot of the woodland ephemerals, such as trillium and trout lilies, are just finishing. Our lilacs are in full bloom. That's one of my favorite shrubs. But it's a really fun time to see everything leaf out. Things that you expected to come back. Some things that you don't expect.
For sure.
Kind of bite the dust. But it's that time of year of discovery where you see what the winter did or didn't do to a lot of your plants.
And Jordan, I didn't hear you mention asparagus there. And we know they'll be ready soon. So, I mean, what's your go-to way of preparing asparagus?
I mean, I can't lie. I do love a great asparagus pureed soup or bisque of some sort, but also, again, just keeping the veg as the highlight of a dish and just touching it with a really high quality olive oil, a really high quality salt, a little squeeze of some sort of acidity, whether that's a lemon or, you know, sometimes I even put a little orange zest on there, and just letting that be the star of the show is kind of my favorite go-to during springtime.
Well, before I let you both go, we know that there's a massive amount of cicadas that are on the way. So I'm curious, is that going to be tough for the veggie starts that get transferred outside, Chester?
I don't think so. I mean, yes, they're going to be everywhere, and you may have to pick them off of your vegetables and your herbs and your flowers. But they mostly are looking to lay their eggs in woody plants.
Yeah.
The one thing that may interest me is the amount of other predators that feed on the cicadas. It'll be interesting to see how, if they're more prevalent, if they're around the vegetables, if it brings different things out of the woodwork that you may not necessarily see at a normal year.
You preparing for cicada season, Jordan?
You know, that's a great question. I can't stand cicadas.
You and me both.
So I'm very panicked about it. But, you know, I think that what I am planning to do is kind of doing some sort of covering around my garden bed just so that I don't have to worry about, again, the predators that feed off the cicadas, but also the cicadas accidentally flying into or laying their eggs and things into my garden bed.
Yeah.
So having some sort of mesh covering, I think, is what I'm going to try to do this year.
But yeah.
I don't know. Check back in with me in a few weeks.
I'll be hiding under your mesh covering somewhere. We'll leave it there. That's Jordan Wimby, a.k.a. Melon and Martha. She's a chef and cultural historian. And Chester Jankowski, who's a senior horticulturist at the Chicago Botanic Garden. Thank you both so much. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. To hear more conversations about food, head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Talk to you tomorrow.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.